Cali will dry bones for a long time, yeah. A lot of us, this pain endemic, this situation that we find ourselves in, and yet God is doing some extraordinary things in all of our lives. While we look at the situation, God is the one that we should be looking to. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. So Ezekiel 37, we're going to read a couple of more verses from that chapter. What I've found is some principles that we can develop in our own life to help us in our dry bone situations. So we're dealing with part 3, Ezekiel 37, verse 4. We pick up where Ezekiel is finding himself in this valley, and he said to me, verse 4, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. Before you take your seat, look at somebody and say, I'm on a mission in the valley. God bless you. You may be seated. Father God, thank you again for this awesome privilege that we have of recognizing you for your glory and for your honor. We pray that you'd bless us now as we share your word so that we might grow and become what you would have us to be. As the prayer has already gone, I'm praying for our students, our young people that are returning to school, and praying for the teachers, all of the administrators. We ask that you would continue to pour out your mercy, that, Lord, they might be able to be strengthened and protected in this dangerous environment that we're in. Thank you for all your love and grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Your mission in the valley. I can remember a program that we used to watch. We didn't have but 3 channels on the TV. You had ABC, NBC, and you also had CBS, ABC, NBC, CBS, I forget. Now you got so many channels that you run into thumb problems because there's a lot to choose from. But in that day, on Sunday night, they used to have this program called Mission Impossible. Mission Impossible. I can remember the theme to it. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, I won't get into it, but that program would give a message at the beginning of the show, and it will tell each one of the people what they needed to do in order to accomplish the mission. God has given us a mission. He's giving us something that we need to do so that when we meet him, when we greet him in glory, we might say, mission accomplished. God has sent you and I on a mission. Now, to bring you into the text and let you know what Ezekiel is facing, and to warn you that the mission you have is going to be dangerous, if you haven't figured it out already. Ezekiel was brought to this valley. In a vision, God brought him to this valley, and it was filled with dry bones. It represented the nation of Israel. They had fallen into sin. And then as a result of sin, they had been taken into captivity. And now as a nation, they were scattered. They were divided. They had no culture. They were losing their language. Many things was happening to this nation because they had disobeyed God. They were in a valley of dry bones. And God said to Ezekiel, I'm going to put you in the middle of this valley, and then I'm going to tell you what to do. Sometimes God will put you in the middle of a situation, and then he'll say, now, are you going to listen to me, Or are you going to do things your way? You know, and I know, that if you do things your way, the mission will fail. You will fail. You will encounter destruction. All of us have been there. You know, we've gone to the valley and we say to ourselves, hey, I know what to do. I know how to handle this. And in the middle of the valley, we had to throw up our hands and say, you know what? I don't know what to do. I've been there. I'm sure you have. But when that time comes, you don't rely on your own answers. You rely on the grace of God to lead you, to protect you, and to help you to get out of the valley. But I learned something this week that is more than just getting out of the valley. I learned something this week that helped me understand why God allows such valleys to come in our life. And I'll tell you that at the end of the message. Now, we've been looking at our friend Tony Bennett, the UVA coach of the basketball team, and how he developed five pillars, five strategies that he used in order to develop a winning team. One was humility. The second was passion. Third was unity. Fourth was servanthood. And the fifth was thankfulness. He used those principles. He didn't say to the team when they were going to play someone, he didn't say to them when they were going to play the University of North Carolina or Duke, he didn't say to them, we got to win this team. He said, remember what you have learned. Remember these principles. What do? You humble yourself. You show passion. You put your heart into it. You show that you're unified. He said, and I like the one about unity because he said, you know, make sure that your team member, you do everything to support your team members, not about you. And then the last one, thankfulness. Show some gratitude. We're in a generation now where people don't show gratitude. They feel that God is obligated. Let me tell you something. God owes you nothing. But he's willing to give you everything if you would pay attention. So from that, and from being inspired by Coach Bennett, who went on to lead his team to win a national championship, first time the basketball team had done that, first time even when Ralph Sampson played for him back in the 80s, first time was in 2019. UVA. And I was there. Man, I was cheering on. No, I wasn't really there at the site, but I was watching TV, one of those channels that had the team playing. And I was cheering. I said, man, this is so good. They're winning. And I didn't know the background until I'd studied those five principles. God has given us five principles based on Ezekiel's valley situation. Five things that you and I can do. We've already talked about admission. One, know when the problem is bigger than you. No one is bigger than you. A lot of us trying to say, I know how to get through this. You don't know. And you're going to find yourself in some dry bone situations where the problem is going to be over your head and you're going to be drowning and you're going to need some answers. But thank God we got a Savior. Amen. Amen. Thank God we've got someone that'll be with us in those times. The second principle that we learn is observation. Pay close attention. Pay close attention to God's answer. You know, we know how to Google everything, right? You know, Google generation now. They want to ask you, well, instead of go to Google, you go to God. And you don't have to type in, you know, I'm all thumbs when it comes to texting and all of this other stuff. But I can call on God who answers our prayer. Today we're going to talk about obedience, which is our third principle. Admission, observation, then obedience. Act in accordance with what God tells you. Act in accordance. If he says turn right, you turn right. If God says turn left, if he says that, you go that way. If he says go straight forward, then you go straight forward because the objective is to obey the living God. You got to obey him. You got to obey him. And I thank God that he has put us into this race of life so that when you find yourself in a dry bone situation, your duty is to listen and then to obey. You've got to obey God. Obedience is better than what? Sacrifice. You know, we in the church, we think a praise will cover up everything. No, it won't. You can sing and dance and shout all you want to. Obeying God is number one. I didn't say you didn't have to praise God. I didn't say you have to thank God. But don't think that that's a replacement for your obedience. Are y'all still here? When you obey God, you will carry out the will of Almighty God. So obedience, how does that relate to our mission? Here's Ezekiel. He's in this valley. God asked him the impossible question, can these bones live? And rather than saying, I got the answer, Ezekiel deflected the question back to God. He said, Lord, you know. You're the one that knows. You know everything. And so I'm going to put the question back to you because you put me in this situation. I'm waiting on you to tell me what to do. So as Ezekiel does that, he realizes that now God is going to send him on a mission in the valley. So what's the mission? He has to speak to the dry bones. Here's what the Lord tells him. Preach unto these bones and say to them, he even gave him words to say, oh, you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Simple message, right? Simple message. What we do when we're in a dry bone situation, we let the problem preach to us. We allow the situation to say to us, hey, you're not going to make it. Hey, give up. You know, if the problem is there, and what we do is we make the problem so great that now we're running to God, telling God about the problem, and God said, no, turn this thing around. You need to run to the problem and tell the problem about God. Are y'all still here? It's not going to get any better until you start speaking over it and use your authority that Jesus Christ has given you. Every one of us has the authority to speak to our situation. It may look hopeless. It may look like a thing that you can't handle. So did Ezekiel. He said, you know, I don't know how to handle this. God, you know, but I'm willing to do what you tell me. Say this with me. The mission does not start until you obey. The mission does not start until you obey. See, a lot of us, what we want to do is hit the start button. And then nothing happens. Well, I knew prayer didn't work. Well, God didn't tell you just pray. He said, obey me. Obey me. Now, what happens? What is it that causes us to not obey God? You know, we get hard-headed, right? We get to a place where we think that we know the answer. But there are three things that I want to bring to you today before I close the message. Three things I want to share with you that causes us to not obey God. I call them barriers. Call them barriers. You've been traveling down a road, and all of a sudden the road is blocked off. They tell you that the road is blocked off. Then they got this barrier. That's for the hard-headed folk. You know, bridge is out, and then some people want to drive down there and see if the bridge. No, they're going to put up a barrier so you can't get down there. So what are the three barriers that we face if we're going to obey God? What are those barriers? One is misinformation. Write it down, because some of y'all get your best news or your most news off of Facebook. Yeah, that's right. Instagram. Well, so-and-so said, I don't care what so-and-so said. I'm concerned about what God said. So misinformation is the first one. Second one is mistakes. How many of y'all ever made those? Yeah, we got misinformation, then you got mistakes. But then the last one, what some folks call bad luck, we just gonna name it misfortune. Misfortune. Let me break it down to you. When the misinformation comes, these are other voices that are now speaking to you. These are the voices that are surrounding you. When you're in a problematic situation, that voice of doubt begins to shout at you and say, listen, this is it. This is going to be your undoing. How many of y'all ever been in a hospital room and you got a bad report? And really, that bad report was an opportunity for God. Are y'all here? It was an opportunity for him to move in extraordinary ways. So here is a situation, and the voice of doubt is telling you it's not going to work out. How many of y'all got a big bill in the mail? And you didn't get a big paycheck with it. Now you're faced with this financial difficulty, and you're saying to yourself, I don't know how I'm going to make it. The voice of doubt begins to tell you, you're not. You're not. Misinformation. Now, Ezekiel could have been misinformed by listening to the voice of doubt or listening to his fellow countrymen, because later on in that chapter, it says what his fellow countrymen were thinking. They were saying to themselves, we're scattered. We're hopeless. We don't have a chance of being a nation anymore. We're not going to make it. That's the voice of misinformation. Sometimes even your best friend will look at you and say, you know what, I don't know. You might as well throw up your hands now. I don't know whether it's going to work or not. But I'm glad that my best friend's name is Jesus. Amen. There have been times where my wife and I, we've had problems. She said, you know what, I don't think this one's going to work out. I said, you know what, let's just take it to God. I don't have the answer, but God does. And when you trust in the Lord with all your heart, as we studied in Sunday school, don't lean to your own understanding. But in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Misinformation, that voice that speaks to you in your valley situation, and that voice that tells you it's not going to work out, but that's when you need to, in turn, go to God and say, Lord, what's your word? What's your word? We shared with you that a prophet does not speak until he's been directed by God, a true prophet. He doesn't speak from his own heart. He speaks the mind and the heart of God. When you go to God sincerely in prayer and say, Lord, I don't have the information. Would you tell me what I need to know? And the Lord will direct, notice I said, the Lord will direct your path. Misinformation. And you're in a valley? Don't go there and go on the wrong information. Make sure that you're leaning upon the everlasting arms, that the same God that has called you to that, the Lord will bring you through that. You know, as I learn about misinformation, there's a thing that we have, and that is directions. When I was in the military, we would get directions. We got orders. And the orders would state where you're supposed to go, what you're supposed to do, and what unit you're supposed to join. I got the orders. How many of y'all been in the military? And get these orders. You go to places where you don't really appreciate, and they keep you there for a long time. And if you don't obey the orders, according to the military, they can court-martial you. If you don't report to duty, you will be considered AWOL, absent without leave. My goodness, a whole lot of folks that claim they're in God's army. Whole lot of people that say, you know what, I'm on the Lord's side. But are you on the sidelines on the Lord's side, or are you in the battle on the Lord's side? Because whether you realize it or not, we're finding ourselves in a battle that is going on. It is a battle that is between good and evil, and you can't pick sides and then be neutral. You can't say I'm on the Lord's side and not get in the battlefield and fight for what is right. Are y'all still here? If you're on the Lord's side, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I learned that from the military, that you have these orders and you have to obey these orders. And so what I did is, for the time that I was in, I obeyed their orders. I went where they told me to go. I did what they told me to do. And I remained in the unit that they assigned me. And they gave me this piece of paper that said, you are now honorably discharged. Which meant, Bernard, that we had passed the test. We'd been in there. We'd done what we were supposed to do. And now they were relieving us of duty because it was a job well done. You've got orders as a Christian. If you want to hear God say, well done, you've got to make sure that you obey the orders. Abraham is a good example in the Old Testament where he obeyed God's orders. The Lord told him at the age of 75, Abraham, I want you to leave your home country and go to a place that I will show you. And Abraham went out not knowing where he was going, but God sent him to the promised land. Now listen, if he had not trusted God, if he had not obeyed God, Abraham would have remained Abram. That was his original name. But when you're on a mission for God, God changes your name. I used to be an old sinner, but now I'm sanctified. Now I'm walking with the Lord. Abraham obeyed God. And at the age of 75, it says in Genesis 12 and verse 4 that Abraham went out. Abraham obeyed the Lord. And he followed and departed as the Lord had spoken to him. And he was 75 when he departed out of Haran. You've got to depart. You've got to start saying, Lord, it's here that I'm going to start on this mission. It's here that I'm going to obey you. Even if it is a valley, I'm going to follow you in the valley. Next thing is we find out not only is there misinformation out there, but there's also what we call mistakes. How many of y'all just made an honest mistake? And that honest mistake landed you in a whole lot of problems, whole lot of trouble, where judgment, you know, you're doing the best you can. Next thing you know, wow, it happens. That's life. But it's not the end of life. Are y'all still here? It could be forgetfulness. We just forgot what we were supposed to do, and all of a sudden we well, speaking about losing it, how many of y'all lost it this week? Somebody knew exactly what buttons to press, and before you could stop them, the buttons that were already been pressed, and then they stood back and said, oh, there they go. Was that you? We have this thing of where we call a frustration level, okay? We get to a level where we just can't take anymore, and all of a sudden we explode like a volcano. Now, people are looking at us. Oh, that's the Christian. That's the child of God. And they cussing like a sailor. Yeah, you love the Lord, but you hate problems, right? All of us have been there. You make a mistake. Do not let your mistakes bury you. Don't let your mistakes cause you to be overwhelmed by the situation, because guess what? You can always go to God and say, Lord, this is what I did. It's me that did this. It's I that sinned against you, and I'm asking for your forgiveness. If you make a mistake, admit it. Admit it. You can't change it. Well, I'm gonna go back and make it. No, you ain't gonna make it good. If the situation came right back, you'd do the same thing sometime, right? But here's where God intervenes. When you admit that you were in the situation and that you made a mistake, God not only offers forgiveness, but according to First John 1:9, he cleanses us from unrighteousness. It's one thing to make a mistake, but it's another thing to live in it. Don't live in your mistakes. That's why you come to church. You don't come to church to say how good you've been. You come to church and say, Lord, I know that I'm mistake prone. I know that I'm accident prone. So I'm here for you to fix me up. I don't take my car to the shop just for the guy to say, hey, man, you got a nice car. Keep making your payments on it. I go in there to get the thing repaired. You don't come to church to show how nice you are. Yeah, you look nice on Sunday. But the question is, what you going to act like on Monday? So if you're in a valley, don't let misinformation get you off course. Don't let your mistakes bury you. Don't live in your mistakes. This is a message for someone today, because you're still living in your past. What happened yesterday was yesterday. This is the day. Y'all go shout on this one. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm not going to let the past dictate to me. As we do that, we are able to move forward in our valley and work our way through the situation. I got something to share at the end of this message. It's gonna blow you away. It's gonna blow you away. It blew me away. But the last barrier, not only misinformation and mistakes, but misfortune. Misfortune. I cannot give you the answer as to why people get sick. I know that in general it's caused by sin, or the weakness that we have because of the sin and the repercussions thereof. I know that. Why do innocent little children in a drive-by shooting get shot? I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. Why do people die? I don't have the answer to that. I know that it has something to do with sin and our life is brief. But people die. It happened to Ezekiel. The Bible tells us that while he was proclaiming God's word, the Lord spoke to him and said, Ezekiel, your wife is going to leave you. And in Ezekiel 37, you find this man preaching and proclaiming God's word. But in Ezekiel 24 and verse 18, he said, so I spoke to the people in the morning, and that evening, my wife died. Some of you all can fill in the blank. Someone I loved died. Does that mean that because of misfortune, you've got to say, okay, God, now I'm exempt, now I'm discharged, now I don't have to serve? That's not what Ezekiel did. That's not what he did. He came back. And the Bible tells us in that same verse, at the evening my wife died, and I did in the morning, which the next day, as I was commanded. Why do you need to obey God even when you're facing those times of misfortune? You obey God not just to see God bring you through, but guess what? As you obey God, you're also getting close to God. Are y'all still here? As you get close to God, you get the comfort from God. And even if you don't have the answer, you still got God. Let me just share with you as I close today how this mission is going to be accomplished. Despite all the things that might be the obstacles, the barriers that we face, remember the act of obedience is carrying out the will of God, doing what the Lord told us to do. And what Ezekiel said, I'm going to do, I'm going to speak as God told me. Despite the fact that I've lost someone that I care deeply about, I'm still going to stand up and say, God is real. And as he stood up and said that God was real, that the Lord was speaking through him to the dry bones, guess what started to happen? The bones came together. As you go forth in your valley situation and start saying, Lord, I don't believe you brought me this far to lead me now. The same God that brought me to the valley will also take me through the valley. That's where the 23rd Psalm comes in. You ain't going to stay in the valley of the shadow of death forever. The 23rd Psalm talks about coming through that valley and then abiding in the house of the Lord forever. How many of y'all can say that one of these days I might not be this or that, but one day I'm going to be in the house. I'm going to be in the place where God wants me to be. When you start, listen, child of God, when you start saying what God told you to say, the bones are going to get connected. Right now, it doesn't look so good. Leg bone over here, neck bone over there, ankle bone somewhere else, and you got to put it all together. Here you are trying to do it through your strength. But God said, if you just speak to it, I will bring it together. Are y'all here? Do you not know that you have the power of God inside of you? And the way that you release the power of God from the inside to the situation, you got to talk to it. So if you're in prayer, start saying, Lord, I know you're going to make a way somehow, but what I'm going to do is go on and pray anyhow. And as I pray, I believe that the neck bone is going to get connected. The ankle bone is going to get connected because you cannot put skin on something that is not together. And a whole lot of our churches, what we're doing with our programs and different things, we're trying to put skin on something that ain't even connected yet. But we got to get connected. Look at somebody and say, I got to get connected. And guess what? You might not be on my pew today, but I'm still going to get connected in the spirit because we got work to do. The Lord told us to go to the valley, to speak to the valley. You know what? I ain't taking this pandemic anymore. I'm going to say, pandemic, Jesus is in control. God is the one that cares for us. And yeah, I'm going to wear my mask. I'm going, you know, because other folk don't believe in it. Now, I don't believe in masks either, but I believe in Jesus. Are y'all still here? And I know that God's been good to us. He's brought us through dangers that we didn't even know about. Speaking of while we were in the military, there were things that happened all around me, all around different ones, and yet you're still here in Jesus' name. Listen, you may not have joined the U.S. military, but you signed up for this army called the Saints of God. And what we need is the Saints of God to stand up in this evil day and say, I ain't going to take it anymore. For God I live and for God I'll die. Do I have a witness here? Rather than us bowing the knee to the problem, we need to stand up for Jesus and say, the Lord is the one that's on my side. And if God be for me, he's more than the world against me. Pray God Almighty. I feel like preaching here. But as I close this message, I want to remind you that the dry bone situation didn't come just so you could get bones together. Yeah, it's nice, and I used to be preaching that. I used to preach, and this bone got connected, to that bone, and that bone got connected, and all of a sudden, when they got connected, the skin came upon them, and the muscles came upon them, and they stood up as an army. But guess what? It ain't just about the bones getting together. You and I can just get together as a church and talk about what we're going to do. But notice something that we've been missing all along. The Bible said that when God told them to speak to it, he said, Ezekiel, I want you to understand something. It's not going to be you that's doing the work. He said, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you will live. And look at this last part. And you shall know. You shall know that I am the Lord. The reason for getting through the dry bone situation is not to say I got what I wanted, but that we would know the Lord. Everything you go through is going to bring you either closer to God or either further from God. I'm so glad that even in problems that I thought I couldn't answer, the Lord drew me close to him. And while you're close to him, you may not know everything, but you know what you need to know. Look at somebody and say, I know what I need to know. I know Jesus, and everything going to be all right. Though you go through the valley, as long as you know Jesus, as long as you know, can I tell you what my grandma said? He walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me that I am his own. As long as I know the Lord, everything is going to be all right. Nothing is impossible for the one that knows the Lord. So I want to ask our Crossroad Army, do you know the Lord today? Do you know the Lord? Do you really know him? Now, don't play with me now. Do you really know him? Those online, do you know him? Are you in the army? If you're not in the army, it's time to enlist right now. It's time to say, I'm not just having the Lord on my side, but I'm on the Lord's side. Are you in his army? I am a soldier of the cross, a bearer of the Lamb. If you're in his army, it's time for his army to take a stand. We've had enough of the nonsense that's going on. Speak to this crazy world that you're in. You say, well, how am I going to do that, preacher? On your job tomorrow. By the way, I'm retired. I don't go to one. I just had to put that in there. Glory be to God. I got delivered. But on your job, dying, raising their hand, yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I've been waiting a long time. But when you go on your job tomorrow and people start talking about dry bone situation, you start speaking faith to them. Let them know, number one, God still loves you. God still loves you. Number two, if you call on God, he will help you. But then the third thing, if he doesn't get you out of this valley, nobody else can. The Lord will make a way out of no way. Are y'all here? Are y'all here? So I'm just calling on the army. I'm calling on the army now. We're an army. I'm saying that as we go through these things, these principles, I want us to rise up as an army. Don't you just listen. Well, Reverend Coleman, he preached a good sermon. No. This ain't about Reverend Coleman. It's about knowing the Lord. And I believe that before Christ comes back to redeem his saints, literally, he's going to stir up something on the inside where we know him more and serve him better. I just believe that. He would say, Christ's going to come back, not without you knowing it. He's going to tell you. And I believe it's time for the saints of God that know him to stand up and be that mighty army. Can you do that for us? Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your amazing love. I tried to share what, Lord, I needed to share, but I pray that you take them to the text. Let them see it for themselves. Let them search the scripture as they did in Berea so that they would know the truth and the truth would set them free. If there's someone listening, God, either online or in the parking lot, I pray that you speak to their heart. Enlist them in your army. You didn't just want Ezekiel. You want a lot of people. You want all of us to believe and to speak to our dry bones situation. So you've called us to the valley that we would know you. And I thank you for it. We worship you and we praise you in Jesus' name. And all the people of God said, amen. Before we close, we just want to give an invitation to anyone who's without Christ. Now, I know online it's going to be hard for you to walk down the aisles here, but what you can do is you can take a stand for Jesus. You can stand up and say, Lord, take me as I am. Change my heart and make me a believer. And I believe if you do that, God will save your soul. And as the congregation stands in here, may you humble yourself, whether you're online or in the parking lot, may you humble yourself and say, Lord, I need you to guide me. Amen. Is there one? Invitations are given. The doors of the church are open. Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come. Is there one? Before I close the day, I want to share something that I read in the Daily Bread. How many of y'all get these things called Daily Bread? And I read something today that I thought was very interesting. We're going to give the benediction in just a minute, but this was about a great man that served our country, and he talked about getting into good trouble. Getting into good trouble. John Lewis, American congressman and civil rights leader, died in 2020, and people from many political persuasions mourned the loss. In 1965, Lewis marched with Martin Luther King to secure voting rights for black citizens. During the march, Lewis suffered a cracked skull, causing scars to be carried for the rest of his life. When you see something, he said, that is not right, just not right, and not fair. Lewis said, you have a moral obligation to say something and to do something. He also said, never ever be afraid to make some noise and to get in some good trouble. I want you all this week to get in some good trouble. Stand up for Jesus because he stood up for you and he is your Savior. Amen. Reverend Gibbons is going to come and dismiss us in prayer. Let the church say amen.
It's amazing that we know that there's a God that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly. We thank God for he'll keep us. Even though we shall stumble, we shall never fall. Amen. Amen. We thank God for the message. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we are so thankful for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for the joy of knowing that you're a God that guides us and directs us and keep us from hurt, harm, and danger. We thank you for this day that you have given us, for the word that we have heard this morning. Not only that we can depend on you, but you will guide us and direct us in all that we do and say. We thank you again for our pastor, for the working that you're doing in his life and in his family. May you continue to keep him safe from hurt, harm, and danger. Now, Father, as we depart from here, may we never depart from thy presence. Guide us and direct us, and we'll always be careful to give you the glory and the praise. For it's in your Son Jesus Christ's name we pray with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen.